Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Today's guest on Pathways posits that every one of us is creative, that there is an innate calling to respond to the world through some sort of creative medium. Myths, fairy tales, and ancient stories from around the world point to this. They speak of a quest, a journey fraught with obstacles, demons, and monsters. From Persephone to the ugly duckling, the themes and challenges within these stories still speak to us today and offer inspiration relevant to our own individual hero's journey. Our guest today is Yehudit Silverman, author of the new book, The Story Within, Myth and Fairy Tale in Therapy. Yehudit is a creative arts therapist and former chair of the Department of Creative Arts Therapies at Concordia University in Montreal. She created the Story Within method out of her clinical practice and has been teaching it to graduate students for over 20 years. An award-winning documentary filmmaker, she produced and directed The Story Within, Myth and Fairy Tale in Therapy, a video which is a helpful companion for the book. She also produced and directed The Hidden Face of Suicide, a video that enters the world of survivors, those who lost loved ones from suicide, and tells their remarkable stories. In collaboration with the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, she directed the Seeds of Hope project that brought together diverse communities affected by suicide to make and exhibit self-created masks. Her current film project brings together Jewish, Christian, and Muslim young adults to work together through the arts. She received several federal and provincial grants to work on issues around trauma, suicide, interfaith, and cross-cultural dialogue. Yehudit loves to sing, be in nature, create masks, and hang clothes on the line on a beautiful day. She leads workshops, trainings, creative rituals, and presentations internationally, and we are proud to have her as our guest on the Pathways program. Hello, Yehudit, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Why don't we start by asking for your definition of what is art-based therapy and how it works?
Well, creative arts therapies has many different branches. There's art therapy, drama therapy, dance therapy, and music therapy. And the basic tenet of using the arts in therapy is that we all have places that are really difficult within us. And if we can express those feelings in a creative form, they're less overwhelming.
Okay.
They don't harm us as much. And it also is a way of working with our personal material in a way that's creative and also speaks to our resilience and inner strength.
Okay. And what's the sense of your book's title, The Story Within?
That's a great question. I think that we all have hidden stories, stories that are so deep within us that we can't access them. But often these are the stories that determine how we react in our lives to people, to difficult situations. And those are the stories that contain our wounds, sometimes our traumas. And to be able to access them, I feel like we need to work with myth and fairy tale and the arts. So the story within is really about those deep, hidden stories. And that's why I called it that.
So what's the correlation between my individual hidden stories, for instance, and myths and fairy tales?
Well, that's a real personal journey. And part of the journey starts with just learning how to project feelings into different creative forms. And then there's the process of finding one's story. And what happens is that when you look through all the different myths and fairy tales, something resonates. Something can bring tears. Something can bring laughter. There's a sense of almost familiarity, and yet it's really important to not know why. Because the not knowing why allows us to really go on a personal exploration and not just redo the familiar. So go ahead.
When you say you don't know why, you mean you don't know why you're resonating with this particular fairy tale.
Exactly. And that's a really important part of the process.
Is figuring out why?
Well, is actually staying more within the unknown. So not knowing why, trusting that the story itself and the arts will lead you someplace that you need to go. Because if you know ahead of time, then it's not going to lead you anyplace new. So okay. It's really allowing yourself to trust the process and to not know why.
And how much artistic skill does somebody need to have to get benefit from art therapy?
None.
Wait, do you believe that everybody has artistic, some innate artistic talent or not?
Well, I don't think it's about talent so much as I am a strong believer that creativity is in our DNA, just like anything else. And that we all have a desire to respond to the world creatively. Now, obviously, some people can sing better. Some people have perfect pitch. Some people can draw lines. But the desire to respond creatively is innate. And one of the goals in the story within process is also learning about our own creative DNA. Because often we don't know about that. And people will find that, oh, I actually really love to paint and I didn't know that, or I really love to move. And so part of it is just discovering what is our innate creative expression. So yes, I believe that we are all creative. Not only that we are all creative, but that we need to be creative for health.
Okay. And so explain this term a little bit more for the audience. Creative DNA. What is that concept?
Well, Twyla Tharp, who is, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a well-known choreographer, wrote a book about the creative DNA. She had this idea, which as of yet hasn't been scientifically proven, that we all have innate tendencies in our creative work. For example, whether we create in a very quick fashion or we're very methodical and we do it slowly, whether we have a far distant focal lens, the way we see things, the way we draw things, or close up. So I've taken that a little bit further, and I bring in also the perceptions. So I feel like we all have different responses to different creative mediums. For example, one person may discover that when they move and when they dance, it's very emotional for them. Someone else, when they do artistic drawing or painting, that's more emotional for them. And so part of our creative DNA is learning how the different mediums, how we react to the different mediums.
It sounds like it's quite a path of self-discovery to do one of your workshops or seminars. And it sounds like people are going to discover resources within themselves that they didn't know they had.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Exactly. I think that's the important thing, is really allowing oneself to discover what their creative DNA is and be surprised by what they discover.
Do you think most people, I mean, you've dealt with so many people over the last 20 years with your instruction and your workshops and such. Do you think most people go into these things thinking, well, I know I have some ability at writing or drawing or dancing, or do you think they have a concept of their creative DNA?
Some people do, if they luckily at least had some exposure to the arts. A lot of people feel like they're good in one thing, but not good in something else. And what I found that people discover is that often the medium that they feel the least skilled in can be the one where they're moved by the most and the one that leads them to the most insight.
I see. Now, it seems to me that this type of work might be more well, have exceptional healing power during this new COVID reality that we're living through right now, where people are struggling to find meaning. Do you think it's more relevant under these circumstances and that it's helpful?
Yes, that's a really good point. I think it is. I think what's been so difficult during these times is the sense of uncertainty and not knowing. And often people lose their sense of purpose and meaning making. And I think when you go through something like the story within, you begin to get a sense of being on a journey and on a path. And so there's a sense of meaning that can come through about your life. And I think that is so important right now. The other thing is that part of the process entails having witnesses. So right. Being part of a group. And I think right now we need connection more than ever. And I'm learning that even through Zoom, because I have several groups and people from all over the world, we can still share our creativity. And that's been really remarkable, seeing how people are sharing their deepest parts through their creative work and being witnessed and validated. And there's something about that intimate connection through creativity that I think is incredibly healing right now. And that's what I'm witnessing.
Now, one of the key elements of most myths and fairy tales and traditional stories is the idea of a quest or a journey. And would you take the position that everybody's got one of those, that everybody's on their own particular hero's journey, that everybody's life is significant in some way or shape or form, and that all we need to do is to discover what our quest is?
I do believe that. I think our quest changes, right? It can change at different periods in our lives, depending on our age and what's going on. But I do feel like that there is almost a sense of urgency sometimes to get back to our deepest self, and that often is lost with the busyness in life, that we don't have time to reflect and connect with that deepest part of ourselves. And I feel like that's what this kind of a journey can reinforce, is that connection with our deepest self.
And do you recommend that people actively look for their story or for some representation of it in mythology or fairy tales or fables and such?
Well, in the book, I sort of outline how to do that. And I feel like that the process of doing that can be therapeutic in itself, because I think it introduces us, as we search for our story, to our inner sense of knowing and what that means, and to trust that inner sense of knowing. Because how do we determine it's the right story, right? And part of that is listening to that resonance and how that resonance manifests within us. So I feel like the process itself is really important and needs to be honored. So it's not just a matter of looking for a story or a character that we want to be like or that we want to emulate. It's really trusting that there's a story and a character out there that's calling to us, and it's listening and being open to that calling so that it can come through.
Now, you've been looking at myths and stories and fairy tales for a long time. You've been helping people embody them, make masks that represent them, do psychodrama and various other creative expressions related to a story. Have you been able to sort of like categorize the different kinds of stories? Is there a way of classifying these?
Well, in my book, I go through some of the emergent themes that are there in all the different stories from all over the world. And I think some of those themes are really important. Like there's a theme that's pretty cross-cultural of descent, where the protagonist goes into the underworld and has to go through a series of steps to be able to come up again. And so that's one of the themes. There's many themes in terms of the kinds of obstacles. People usually have to go through a series of tests that they have to get through, right? And that's an important aspect of it. And usually there's also a sense of a helper and an obstacle. Right. So there's these two things that the protagonist is working with. And sometimes the helper initially can appear as a demon, but it's actually helping the protagonist to get where they need to go.
Now, you don't get into this in the book, but I just have to ask you, have you ever sort of broke down these different kinds of stories, different fairy tales, different mythologies, different flavors of the hero's journey, and correlated them with psychology? Like, for instance, I could see, you take attachment theory, for instance. Somebody's got an avoidant attachment style because they were, you know, invaded by their parent and were not given enough space. Maybe somebody else has an anxious attachment style where they're always trying to get the shiny object and it never turns out to be real gold. Or, I mean, have you ever looked at it from that point of view and tried to correlate with different stories with different psychological theories?
No, actually, that would go against everything that my particular therapeutic approach is about.
Okay.
Because I think, it's a great question, because I think if we assign that this story means this, and it's right for these people, then we're taking away the unique and individual relationship that each person has with a story.
Right.
For example, I've had several people choose Persephone from the Greek myth, and each one chooses a different moment. Part of the process is choosing the moment. And there's many different moments in that story. So if you're choosing the moment of descent, if you're choosing the moment when Persephone's in Hades, if you're choosing the moment when she comes back up, they're all different. So your exploration is going to be really different. So I don't think we can assign a particular psychological issue to a particular story, because what's to me so magical about the process is that it is always unique.
Okay.
And that I, as the therapist, I don't know where it's going to go with the person.
And that's kind of fun. That's kind of an adventure, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You point out in the book that stories are a safe way to approach our deepest fears. And you also point out that the fairy tales as reimagined by Disney leave out the most important aspects, which are related to our fears, the monsters, the demons, ambiguous endings, et cetera. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, unfortunately, Disney kind of sanitized them a bit. And people that grew up, have grown up with the Disney tales are kind of surprised that the original versions are darker. But those darker elements of the story are really what allow us to go to the darker elements in ourselves, right? Because if we don't have that, then we won't be able to access those darker aspects. And for example, I'm just thinking of one gentleman I worked with who had a lot of anger issues and was quite abusive. And he chose the story of the three little pigs and being the wolf. And he chose the moment of the wolf going down the chimney into the boiling oil.
Oh, my God.
He stayed with that moment. And for him, it was a terrifying moment. The wolf was going to die in this boiling oil. But what he realized is that that's where his life was heading.
Wow.
It was heading to that pot of boiling oil. And if he didn't change it, that's what was going to happen.
Wow.
So if we took out that element of the story, he wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. Now, you point out in the book that the story within approach is a longer term creative projection. I mean, it can take several weeks in terms of staying with the story and imbibing its meaning for us. What, give us an example, or how many weeks does it typically take?
Well, it really depends. When I taught it at Concordia for therapists in training, we did it in 6 weeks, meeting twice a week.
I see.
It was a very intense program. When I did it in the hospital, it would depend on many things, whether they were inpatients, outpatients. But I would say that a month to 2 months, depending on what's possible with people, how often we meet. I worked with people that were hospitalized and in bed and did the whole process with them in their bed.
Wow. And you have a lot of pages in the book that are on the subject of the making of masks and the processes that you use that utilize masks. Can you describe that for us, please?
Yeah, mask making is something very close to my heart. I also make a lot of masks, and I find that they're so powerful for really embodying and getting close to the character. And there's something about masks that's pretty universal. Almost every culture in the world uses masks in some way. And they can be made out of so many different materials, and they're both dead and alive. They're kind of in that liminal space between the two, right? Because they're inanimate, but yet when we put them on, they're animate.
Right.
And also, the way I use them is as subject and object. So as object, they can be placed in the room. You can talk to them. You can relate to them as an object. But when you put them on, then it's a subject and you're embodying the character. So I find them to be incredibly important therapeutically because of the versatility of mediums, and people with absolutely no artistic skill at all can make amazing masks. I've had people make masks from hockey helmets, from coat hangers, from straw, from nylon. And then, of course, clay and paper mache. And
right. Yeah, I looked at the trailer for your documentary about the Story Within process, and it looks fascinating. And I think there's a lot of mask making in that film. Do you think that that film is a good introduction for people, along with your book, about the dynamic process of the Story Within?
Yes, I think it's a great introduction, and because it follows six people as they go through the process, and two of those people are working on some very deep and profound issues. One woman is working around issues around the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Her parents were in the Holocaust and never talked about it. And she chooses the story of Pandora's box. Uh-huh. And it's a box that's never opened, but it's opened in the film.
Right.
Which, when we filmed it, was the first time that she'd ever done that. So I think it really takes people through the steps and gives people a good introduction. It's also a good companion with the book.
Right.
Because you're reading about it, and then you can see it in action. So,
okay. Well, we're just about out of time, and I want to ask kind of a more global question to end things. And that is, you mentioned in the book what you call the mythic perspective. And how we can gain a lot of benefit from adopting a mythic perspective towards events and dynamics in our life. Can you explain what you mean by mythic perspective?
I guess for me, a mythic perspective is a larger perspective about what's happening in the world and what's happening with our own lives. So we're not so caught up in just our immediate sphere and our own problems and issues, but we see ourselves as a part of a much larger whole. And we also see ourselves in relationship to the whole. And I feel like that's important, particularly right now. I feel like we have to see ourselves as a sense of the whole, and that we need each part of the whole. So I think a mythic perspective allows us to have a sense of awe and mystery and reverence for life and for all of life. So I guess that's why I feel like it's essential right now.
Well, your book actually conveys a really felt sense of that. You've got a lot of exercises in there and a lot of stories about people using the story within process. I really got a lot out of it. And I want to thank you so much for being on the Pathways show today and discussing it with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I mean, there's so much more we could talk about, but we've basically run out of time. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.yehudisilverman.com, just basically your name.com, YEHUDITSilverman.com. And for those who may have tuned in late to the Pathways program today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. And don't worry, you can play or share this interview whenever you want, via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today we've been visiting with Yehudit Silverman, author of The Story Within, Myth and Fairy Tale in Therapy. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every other Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. And thanks again to Professor Yehudit Silverman and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.